It's Something for Nothing, the Rush Fancast, Jerry and Steve with you. Jerry, the ratings for our fall season, they're through the roof.
Are they really?
Yeah, we're number one in our time slot.
What time is that? It's like 8:30 right now.
Actually, we're recording this before these episodes are even released, so I have no idea how we're doing in the ratings.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way. We have to record them before they're released.
That is true. You can find us on Twitter, at Rush Fancast. If you'd like to call it X, you can. I choose not to.
That's the funniest thing about X, is that whenever you read about X, it always says in parentheses, formerly Twitter.
Right.
Because X is the worst name for anything.
It is the stupidest decision a CEO of a company has ever made.
The stupidest decision.
Think about it. The word tweet became a verb in the English language.
Yeah, I know. The branding, the Twitter branding, just down the toilet. Nobody even knows what to call what they do on X anymore.
Yeah, am I Xing?
It's terrible. It's ridiculous.
And I find myself using it less just because it's X and I have no idea why. It doesn't make any sense.
No, because it used to be a little bird. Like the app had a little bird on it. Now it's just a gigantic X.
It was fun to tweet.
Yeah, now it's, well, I don't tweet, but it's lame now. It's just lame. And you know, it's, we just talk about Elon Musk. Forget it.
We could talk about it forever. You can find us on Instagram at The Rushcast. We're also on Threads at The Rushcast. So many new social media platforms, Jer, for us to infiltrate.
Yep, that's true.
You can email us at therushcast@gmail.com. Find us on your favorite podcast app. We thank Lex, as always, for providing the bass intro and outro for us. He's masterful as usual.
That he is.
And Jerry, I know you've got a great email to get us started.
Yeah, I really love this email. We've gotten a lot of really good emails, but this one's up there.
Takes the cake?
It takes a cake.
All right.
Some kind of cake. This is from David from Langeban, South Africa.
Wow, that's awesome.
It is, right?
Yeah.
He says, I discovered your podcast only in November of 2022, so I still need some time to get through your catalog. I must admit, I went to the episodes featuring the covers first, as I always found the various ways in which Rush songs can be performed as proof for how robust the songs are, which I think is something we've said in those episodes.
Oh, yeah, over and over again. I mean, yeah. We listened to, what, 20 different covers, and they were all incredible and just an amazing interpretation of a Rush song, which shows how great Rush is.
Yeah. He says, my Rush story started fairly late. I finished school in 1979. At the time, Rush was not played on local radio. As schoolboys, we were very much into Kansas, Journey, and Boston as bands to supplement the old standards, such as Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and Deep Purple. It was really only once I started studying from 1982 to 1988 that I discovered Rush. I wasn't a particularly diligent student and belonged to the school that believed engineering was a four-year course that should not be rushed through in six.
No pun intended?
I guess not. I didn't pick that up. There was a South African DJ, Chris Pryor, aka The Rock Professor, who more or less went the full circle through South African radio stations. He typically lasted 2 to 3 years at a station and left because he refused to compromise on his taste of music that he wanted to share with his audience. I cannot remember which I heard first, thanks to Chris Pryor. Territories on its own, or an hour-long special on mainly the Presto album, intermingled with some older songs. I remember buying the Presto CD before I had a CD player. At the time, I was working at a coal factory in a truly godforsaken part of the country. A good friend of mine found religion and decided he could not reconcile rock music with his beliefs anymore, so he gifted me his Power Windows CD, and my music world would never be the same. At the time, still firmly a bachelor, whenever I was invited somewhere, I took along a C90 cassette with the Indigo Girls debut on one side and Power Windows on the other.
What?
Can you believe that?
What kind of nut likes the Indigo Girls and Rush? Oh, wait a minute. You do, Jer. I forgot.
I couldn't believe it when I read that. Indigo Girls on one side and Rush on the other. Power Windows is Rush's most accessible album and still one of my favorites. Then I got married, and one holiday I found the Chronicles compilation, first on CD and later the sheet music. I discovered Rush's music was not easy to play on a keyboard. Way too many black keys. I would not call my wife a Rush fan, but she loves the Trees. Jumping ahead a few years, I remember my son playing 2112's Temples of Syrinx from Chronicles and Rush in Rio to a friend. They were 8 years old. He told his friend to listen to how Getty's voice changed between 1976 and 2003. Another few years later, when I arrived home from work on my 50th birthday, I heard some familiar guitar sounds from the window of a room right above the front door. My son was playing the intro to Working Man on his guitar for me.
Oh, wow.
How's that for a birthday?
That's great.
This was all just background drivel to what I really wanted to share with you, the picture below. Now, I'm going to include this picture in with the email I sent out about this. In South Africa, children at school follow a subject they call life orientation. This is supposed to teach them life skills to supplement what their parents may or may not have taught them. This picture is from my son's grade 11 textbook. The chapter was on decision making, and I'll loosely translate what is in the picture from Afrikaans to English. Even the simple choice between chicken or fish on a plane make many people doubt. And once the decision was taken, they still wonder if it was correct. Decision making is a part of life that no one can escape from. Ensure you know how to take decisions and make peace with the fact that your decisions will not always be correct, which I think is a great thing to teach kids.
Oh, absolutely.
And then he says, and then underneath it, a quote from Free Will. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. And it's credited to Neil.
Wow.
I get goosebumps when I think that an entire generation of school kids in distant South Africa was influenced by the wisdom of Neil.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What a great email, David from South Africa.
Wow. Just the fact that we have a listener in South Africa amazes me. And how hard is it to become a Rush fan in South Africa, do you think, Jer? How hard is it to find Rush albums in South Africa?
I'm sure it was probably hard back in the day. Now it's obviously just streaming easy, right?
And what's the matter with his friend giving up his Power Windows CD? That's crazy.
I don't think there's really anything on Power Windows that would, you know,
right,
conflict with your religious beliefs. But what do I know?
I think you know quite a bit. David, thanks so much for the email. Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And Jer, we've got another great guest today on the Rush Fancast, a returning guest from the UK. She was born in Blackpool, raised in Camden. The singer-songwriter's new album is called New World Woman. We spoke to her previously on episode 163. Leonie Jane Kennedy, welcome back to the Rush Fancast.
Hey guys, thanks very much for having me on board. Question though, where did you get that information? Because someone did say to me recently that I was raised in Camden, and that isn't actually true.
Really? I got that from your website. At least I thought that's where I got it.
Oh, that shouldn't be on my website. If it is, I've messed up. I was born in Blackpool and I was raised in Blackpool. Then I moved to Guildford, and then from Guildford, I went to, Kentish Town, where I am now. Hmm.
And Camden, where's that in relation to Blackpool?
Absolutely nowhere. Camden is North London and Blackpool is northwest of England. So the complete opposite end.
All right. We need to get a hold of your fact checker and see what the deal is.
I'm checking my website as we speak.
Well, Leonie, since we last spoke, there was another Rush Fest Scotland. You performed again in front of another group of rabid Rush fans. Tell us about how that went.
Oh, it was incredible. This time I ended up returning with my band as well. So on the Friday, we were very lucky. Sorry about this. Living in Camden, this is it. Every 5 minutes, this is what it was like recording the album. I had to stop every 5 minutes because of this noise in the background. You hear the ambulance.
Yeah, we can
horrible.
Hear it.
Horrible. So yeah, the Rush Fest Scotland that we did this year, I did on the Friday an acoustic set of the Rush songs that I've reinvented acoustically. And then after that, there was a panel of people, including the likes of Hugh Simon, Terry Brown, and Nancy and Judy Pitt was there as well, which was a major thing for me to be performing their brother's lyrics in front of them. It was quite emotional. And then the following day, I returned with my band and we did a full set of Rush stuff, but with the band this time, which was quite nice for me because both events these past 2 years have just been acoustic. So having that sense of balance almost was interesting. It was a good experience. And I was slightly more terrified because I had to do the Alex solos I didn't have to, but I chose to, and luckily they went down quite well. So it was a great event, and it was, again, such an emotional thing to be a part of, considering that Neil Peart's Sisters was there and just everyone that came over to support it. It's always a really great event. And yeah, it's phenomenal all the way.
What songs did you do with the full band?
Oof, we did the same songs as I did acoustically, but we did them as the full band. So it was Tears, Faithless, Open Secrets, Cold Fire, New World Woman, Digital Man, and I think that was it for the Rush songs. And we ended up doing two originals of mine as well, which was Temple and Life Like This.
So before we get into the music on New World Woman, let's talk about making it. You had a Kickstarter campaign to raise funds. How did that go? And how much money did you raise?
Yeah, oh, well, we hit a target of, I think it was 5,000. I actually can't remember now. It was that long ago. I haven't even looked at it since it happened because this year has been so manic. But essentially, me and Steve Brown, who is the guitarist in Moving Pictures, Rush Tribute UK, we decided at the start of the year, after having so many people just kind of coming up to us and saying, oh, you should do like an acoustic recording of all of these songs and put it out as an album so that people can listen back to it rather than just hearing it live. And so it just kind of was a random thing that started happening. It's like, oh, I might as well record like a cover of Tears. I was bored one night, so I did it. And then I was like sending it out to the likes of Steve and John from Moving Pictures as well. So I was just getting general feedback and everyone thought it was all right. So in the end, I was just like, right, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And it was the most random thing, but also it was a case of the people in the audience really enjoyed what they were hearing. And some people actually came up and said, I preferred that version to the original only because you hear the lyrics more clearly, or you know, it's just a preference at the end of the day. It's never going to be Rush. And that's the whole point. It's an acoustic reinvention of tracks that we all know and love as Rush fans. And it just puts it into a different light and allows some people who might not be into Rush to appreciate the music behind it still. My mum, for example, was never a particular Rush fan. Then she is obsessed with Mystic Rhythms and Open Secrets, I believe. So it was just a case of me and Steve kind of going, something needs to happen here. Might as well put it to like good use. So we did.
And you said you recorded it at home. How did that go? Literally, like you said, with all of the sirens, how many takes did you lose because of that?
It took me so long. I think for every song that I did, it took at least a week. It's quite frustrating as well. And I'm quite a patient person at times, but because I live right next to a set of traffic lights and I'm near a hospital as well, not too far from here, they come up this road. And then as soon as they get just before the traffic lights, which is where I am, they turn the sirens on to let people know that they're there and they need to get through. So it was actually quite frustrating, but I knew it was going to get done in the end. And I did a couple of really good takes that I was so annoyed with, but then they ended up doing them better and things like that. So I did it right here where I'm sat right now with this microphone and a DI. And that's all I did it with. And Steve very kindly offered to mix it and produce it for me. You can imagine what it was like, right? It was every 5 minutes. It's such a busy area. But with the help of Steve, we got it done in the end. It was just it was a long time and a lot of time, as well as doing a master's, that was just a big part of this year. I do not remember, because it was me being here and just being in the zone, if you like. So yeah, it was difficult, but it was a good experience in a way, because it taught me a lot more patience. And I wanted to get it done, so I just had to get it done.
You probably spent a lot of time praying for green lights, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Jared, but I think it sounds fantastic. When I read it was recorded in your bedroom, Leone, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't.
Yeah. That's good then. This is a great microphone, actually. A good friend of mine, Dave Pullinger, a couple of years back, he lent it to me because he is he's a photographer and he does a lot of film stuff as well. But he said, it's not really getting used. You can borrow it for a couple of recordings whilst I'm still in uni. And I just, he's just said, don't give it me back. If you're making use of it, just have a go on it and keep it. It's an AKG tube mic, solid tube mic. And it's got a lovely preamp that comes with it. And it's just got such a warm sound that even with the guitar, it's not 100% quality. That's the thing. It is totally bedroom recording style. But because of the limited facilities that I had at the time and the fact of it would cost more money to go into an actual studio to then do it, or even if I was to go to where Steve is to get it done, he lives in Arisaig in Scotland. So that's something that I couldn't afford to do as well, back and forth. It was the only option, really. And if I looked for other options, it would have been more time. So the thing was, I have the facilities here to be able to make something semi-decent, and I'll let Steve do his magic. And Steve did a wonderful job. Steve's done the most incredible job, as well as the couple of guests that I had on there. They've got some good facilities that they've recorded on as well. So I'm glad that it sounds to you like it's good recording, and I'm just glad that it's clear.
So if it's okay with you, Leonie, we'd like to play portions of some of the songs from the album. And why don't we start with the first track, Available Light?
The restless wind has seen all things in every kind of light, rising with the full moon to go howling through the night. The sleepless wind has heard all things between the sea and sky. In the canyons of the city, you can hear the buildings cry. All the wind can carry all the voices of the sea. All the wind can carry all the echoes home to me. All the wind can carry all the voices of the sea. All the wind can carry all the echoes home to me. Run with wind and weather to the music of the sea. Our four winds together can bring the world to me. Chase the wind around the world. I want to look at life. If the available light.
Now I'm guessing you love this Rush song as much as Jerry and I do. And this version is incredibly moving. Tell us about it.
Thank you. Yeah, Available Light. Zahid Hassan, who runs Rush Yukon in Crewe and was the drummer on Xanadu when I did Rush Yukon in 2015. He's an incredible guy. And he was kind of the main reason I put this on the album, because he loved it and he's a good mate. And he loved this song, and it was quite an emotional thing for him to listen to it acoustically. Before I did Rush Yukon in 2022, he said, can I just hear a couple of snippets of what you're going to do? He was dead excited, so I sent him a snippet of Available Light, and he was in tears, he said. So this is the main reason that it's on there. Yeah, just community, friends, and it's a fantastic Rush song that is very not in the limelight, in my opinion. So it deserved the limelight.
How did you go about choosing which songs? Available Light seems more easily transferable to, you know, acoustic guitar being piano based, but some of the other songs obviously aren't. How did you go about choosing which songs to add?
Yeah, I recently spoke with Ross Muir from Fabrication HQ about this, because it was a case of putting a set together that I could play live. So rather than just choosing it for the sake of, oh, I like that song, I was doing that via a playlist that I'd made of all the Rush songs that I wanted to potentially turn into acoustic reinventions. And as I was playing through them, I would just fiddle with them on my guitar and voice. And sometimes it takes a while for me to get used to playing as well as singing over it. And if it takes me more than a day to get used to it, it's just not gonna work for me. Because I will get used to it in the end, but it's a fact of managing time. So what I did was go through the playlist and choose the songs that I could best kind of reinvent and also do justice to, because I don't want to ruin the songs. That's the last thing that I wanted to do. And I just chose the ones that worked the best with what I had and what I thought I could do with it. Because a lot of the time in these tracks, I pick out bass lines as well as the percussion lines. In Open Secrets, for example, there's a section in the middle that is actually a drum fill that Neil would do. But I do it like by tapping on the acoustic guitar. So there's just small elements that I thought it was worth picking out for the live reasons more so than anything, because I had to initially create a live set full of acoustic Rush tracks. And then once they had the reactions that they did from the audiences at the Rush conventions, that's when I kind of said, okay, I'll do these ones because they've had a good reaction. Kid Gloves especially, because solo. There is a solo. Yeah. And I do that completely bare live. There's no tracks or anything. All of it is live anyway, but just the fact of doing an Alex Lifeson solo on my own acoustically is very daunting in front of a lot of Rush fans. It was an interesting moment for me. I don't think I've ever had that much adrenaline going through my body at once.
Well, Available Light was begging for an acoustic version. And another song that I think was is the next one we're going to check out, which is Faithless.
Ooh. I've got my own moral compass to steer by. Guiding star beats a spirit in the sky. And all the preaching voices, empty vessels of dreams aloud as they move among the crowd. Fools and thieves are well disguised in the temple and marketplace, and the temple and marketplace. Like a stone in the river against the floods of spring, I will quietly resist, I will quietly resist. Like the willows in the wind or the cliffs along the ocean, I will quietly resist, I will quietly resist. I don't have faith in faith. I don't believe in belief. You can call me faithless. You can call me faithless. But I still cling to hope. And I believe in love. And that's faith enough for me. And that's faith enough for me.
Now, Leone, do your religious beliefs line up with Rush's on this song?
Is that a question of do I believe in God?
Sure.
I'm not sure if I'm faithless. I'm not sure if I have faith in a specific person or godlike figure. I'm completely open to it. I'm sort of the mindset of prove me otherwise. But at the moment, I am very kind of stick to whatever can be proven, sort of an idea. But if you can prove me wrong, that is kind of the thing for me.
What do you think is the thrust of this song? Do you think it's about finding faith in other things as opposed to like criticizing religion in general?
To be honest, I've never really looked at it like that. I've just found it a very emotional song more than anything, going and looking for hope rather than you can call me faithless. It just seems more to me like it's something where you're looking for hope. Like, you can call me faithless, but I'm not, or I might not be, sort of a thing. It's more of a questioning song for me.
How about the guitar sound you got on this song, Leone? It is so incredible.
Thanks. Yeah, it's the PRS Angelus Alex Lifeson signature that I use. I've had that since I was probably 16. But again, it was this mic and a DI. That's all I did. And whatever Steve did, I think he probably put a little bit of chorus on some of the guitars. I did double track some of them. I used a lot of different techniques production-wise on my end just for the recording. So rather than just having one guitar sound, I did try and make it a little bit interesting for a couple of the tracks. You'll have to forgive me. I can't quite remember exactly what I did for each one. It wasn't something I logged. But I do remember going through some of the songs and thinking that the overall vibe that it gives off acoustic is something that could be manipulated as well if I use different techniques to add things here, add things there. The same with backing vocals. I didn't use any effects really apart from on Tears. I had a special guest on that, Owen DePerre. John Power from Moving Pictures, and he put on a flute and a violin. And I think that was it for that one, some strings just generally. But other than that, I don't think any other songs had any production on it other than just maybe a little bit of chorus here and there and a bit of EQ compression, the general kind of production, bits and bobs. That's definitely a question for Steve. We should have got Steve on here.
So, Leonie, the next track we'd like to check out is Open Secrets.
It went right by me at the time it went over my head. I was looking out of the window. I should have looked at your face instead. It went right by me, just another wall. There should have been a moment when we let our barriers fall. I never meant what you're thinking. That's not what I meant at all. Well, I guess we all have these feelings. We can't leave them reconciled. Some of them burn on our ceilings. Some of them learn as a child. The things that we're concealing will never let us grow. Time will do its healing. You've got to let it go. Close for my protection, open to your scorn. Between these two directions, my heart is sometimes torn. I lie awake with my secrets spinning round my head. Something that somehow escaped me, something you shouldn't have said. I was looking out the window. I should have looked at your face instead. Well, I guess we all have these feelings. We can't leave them reconciled. Some of them burn on our ceilings. Some of them learn as a child. The things that we're concealing will never let us grow. Time will do its healing. You've got to let it go.
Now, again, you didn't go for the obvious choice here. This is from Hold Your Fire. I would have guessed you would have picked Time Stand Still, but you went with this one. Why?
Oh, Time Stand Still is a great song, but Open Secrets is better, in my opinion, purely for the fact of I go for the ones that aren't as popular because I'm a nerd and I like digging the songs that aren't appreciated as much. Not necessarily appreciated as much, but just not as much in the front. So Open Secrets was a track that I played with John when, because John was my teacher in high school, and there was another teacher there called Phil Brown, and they were in a, are still in a Rush tribute band called Counterparts. And we did a lot of tracks, a lot of Rush tracks for my assessments, where John would play the bass, Phil would do guitar, I'd do extra guitar and vocals. And then we'd have a drummer as well. My last performance at school was doing Vital Signs with John on bass and the drum teacher on drums. But Open Secrets was one of the first songs that I remember doing with John and Phil. And that is the only reason that I chose it. Apart from the fact that it's a fantastic song, it had a mood to it that I could hear that I wasn't too familiar with on the original track. So I wanted to bring that out. There was just something quite haunting about it when I first heard it, like the breakdowns and where there isn't any lyrics to be sung. Like the space and the music that they created, it was just very kind of mesmerizing for me. One that, where you could literally go into a trance with it. So I wanted to make it out like that for the whole song.
And earlier you mentioned how you incorporated some of the bass melodies into the song. How do you go about making this song into an acoustic song? The arrangement must be something you really have to work at.
It's kind of something that I'm used to at this point. It's not a technique that I tend not to use, if that makes sense, because I listen to a track and automatically as a musician, you're picking out certain parts that are highlighted. And the bass parts that I picked out for Open Secrets and drum parts are just things that as a Rush fan, I would sing along with as normal. Like, you're not meant to sing guitar solos when a guitarist plays it, but if they play it identical to what's on the track live, you're going to sing it because it's memorable. And that's exactly what I did. I chose the parts that I would sing as a fan and just recreated them on the guitar. I didn't particularly try and change it in any way. I just wanted to incorporate it so that people go, oh, it's that bit.
It's funny because when I was listening to Open Secrets, I was doing that in my head. Like, yeah. You're hearing the different things and humming along or singing along to the instrumental parts. And that was great.
The next track we'd like to check out is called Different Zone.
Who's come to slay the dragon? Come to watch him fall. Making arrows out of pointed words. Giant killers at the call. Too much fuss and bother. Too much contradiction and confusion. Peel away the mystery. Here's a clue to some real motivation. You have entered the twilight zone. Beyond this world, strange things unknown. Use the key, unlock the door. See what your fate might have in store. Come explore your dream's creation. Into this world of madness.
Now, this is a combination of Different Strings and Twilight Zone. Where did you get the idea to combine these two songs together, Leonie?
I love Different Strings and I love Twilight Zone. I hadn't originally thought of doing Twilight Zone with Different Strings. It was me sat down in my room one night. I probably had a couple of rums going off of the amount of ambulances that would have happened that day. And I just remember thinking, I want to get Twilight Zone in there somehow, even though I haven't done it live. This would actually work really well because it was when you play something as a musician, you kind of automatically in your head, you can picture what other songs that could fit into. Like, I can see it and I could see it working with Twilight Zone. So I just tried it out. I recorded Different Strings as it was and then played over the top of it the initial Twilight Zone riff. If that was right, I was probably totally out of key. But it worked, and I just tried to record over it. I've never played it live. I don't think I can play it live. I can't actually remember what I played on the recording. I went for it, and it sounded quite cool at the time. And I liked the whole idea of incorporating the whisper track into it as well in the background, just to give it a little extra nudge of creepiness. But also kind of serenity as well. It's quite a calming track for me to listen to whenever I do. I tend not to listen back to my own stuff, but when I do, I like that one.
Do you think there are other Rush mashups to do?
Oh, yeah. I'm working on it as we speak. I'm trying to mash up a couple of King Crimson tunes together at the moment from Three of a Perfect Pair, but I won't spoil anything.
The next track we're going to check out is Mystic Rhythms.
So many things I think about when I look far away. Things I know, things I wonder, things I'd like to say. The more we think we know about, the greater the unknown. Suspend our disbelief. We are not alone. Mystic rhythms capture my thoughts and carry them away. Mysteries of the night escape the light of day. Mystic rhythms. Primitive things stir the hearts of everyone.
Terry, I don't know about you, but you don't realize how beautiful a song is until you hear it stripped down like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
No bass, no drums, but you can still feel the mystic rhythms, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about this one.
This track is one of my favorite Rush tracks. Just the opening drum fill and then the way that they build the song up always gets me. Like, I love it so much. That's another one, like Open Secrets, that just puts me in a trance. And I could feel like the emotion from it as well. Like, a lot of the time when I try and recreate something, I can feel what Neil's trying to say or what the music says to me. It's totally just my interpretation of it. It's not me saying this is what the song is. It's just, as a musician and as a creative person, you get a certain sense of what another person was feeling as they were writing music. And the ones that stuck out to me, one of them being Mystic Rhythms, were just, it just hits you in a certain area that you're like, oh, it's a good one, that. So I just, to recreate it and make it acoustic, I just wanted to give it space. I wanted it to breathe and let the lyrics breathe, because it's great lyrics. It's always great lyrics, but this is a really good song for lyrics. So I really wanted to do it justice and keep it as simple as I could, but also, again, use some of the Rush lines in it that people would recognize and go, ah, it's still a Rush song.
Yeah, I hope this doesn't sound strange, but you really brought out Alex in this song.
Oh, wow. That's so cool to hear.
Because you could hear there's like the that part, like, which is kind of, it's in the song, obviously, but just to hear it acoustically, it's just like, oh yeah, there's a really integral part of this song now coming out to the top.
Thank you so much.
So the next track we're going to check out is Digital Man. This is one I never imagined acoustically, but you did it so masterfully. It's really incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. All down to Nick Andrew, who is the guest artist on this track. Nick has helped me with a lot of stuff recently, including my own originals album. He is the mastermind behind the guitar sounds. And I last minute again, nothing was planned with this thing. I sent him a message saying, I really want to get you on because you've been so helpful and he's a fantastic musician in his own right. And we've actually just for Neil album together as well. So I just wanted him on it at some point. And I said, Digital Man, it needs something else. It's missing something. So I thought, right, Nick, what are you doing? Do you want to help me? Do you want to put some classical acoustic guitar on Digital Man? And he went, yeah, all right. Give me a week or so. And he came back and he sent me that. And I was like, what? How have you done this? Because he's brilliant. Nick's brilliant. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And he brought the best out in that song. Like without it, it didn't work. I was ready to take it off, to be honest. Just because it was missing that something. And he was that something. And I remember getting his track and panning it with my own and bringing the levels right. And just listening, going, this is cool. I really like this. Because I love the original track, of course. This is just a little bit more bouncy. Like there's something to it that's right. Just a little bit playful when they go. You can feel it moving. And I played it in my car. It's just really good.
Another, you know, song from Signals that needed more Alex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I think Alex might like, of all the tracks, I think he would really appreciate this one. If he managed to listen, I think he would listen to what Nick's done actually and go, oh, that's quite cool, that.
Yeah, that guy gets it.
Yeah, he gets it. And the thing is, he's not particularly a Rush fan. I think since I've met him, I've kind of, not just me and a couple of other people have kind of got him involved in certain Rush things because he's been on the Songs for Neil album before doing ridiculous reinterpretations of Rush songs that you would just think he's a mega, mega fan. Mm. And he's just not. He just knows what he's doing. He's a great musician. He's a MIDI guitarist. He plays a lot with Darren Reddick from Planet Rock in like a function band. He's just fantastic. And the fact that he's so professional about it means that he's got so many tools to use to recreate something, even though he might not like it. But I think he liked this one. I think he was quite into this one. And he's definitely, yeah, like a credit to this whole album.
Well, speaking of Signals, the last track on the album is a cover of a track from Signals. It's New World Woman.
She's a rebel and a runner. She's a signal turning green. She's a restless young romantic, wants to run the big machine. She's got a problem with her poisons, but you know she'll find a cure. She's cleaning up the systems to keep her nature pure. Learning to match the beat of the old world mind. Learning to catch the heat of the third world mind. She's got to make her own mistakes and learn to mend the mess she makes. She's old enough to know what's right, but young enough not to choose it. She's noble enough to win the world, but weak enough to lose it. She's a new woman. She's a radio receiver. She's a factories and farms. She's a writer and a ranger and a young girl bearing arms. She's got a problem with her powers. Her weapons on patrol. She's gotta walk a fine line and keep her self-control.
Now, I'm fascinated by this one, Leonie. Your guitar work, to me, combines both Getty and Alex's playing. And right. It's really incredible. Can you tell us how you did that?
I have no idea. I have no idea how I did any of this. I think, again, it's just a part of being a Rush fan and you knowing the songs so well that being a musician, the same way that Nick's done with Digital Man, I'm able to kind of hear certain things as a Rush fan and use them to my advantage when recreating it. But New World Woman was just a lot of fun. I didn't know the track, the album was going to be called New World Woman until I said, huh, let's do New World Man, and then go, no, let's do New World Woman. Because after all, I'm a woman and I'm recreating Rush tracks. So it just made sense. And it was absolutely nothing to do with the fact that I'm a woman. It's just a case of I am a female Rush fan and it isn't something that you see very often. I don't know why, but yeah, let's bring it out. Let's just make a stand, basically. So I did that with the song. And the most weird part about doing it, though, was putting the she's a rebel and a runner. She's a signal turning green. I can't sing the song normally anymore.
Oh, no.
I remember we did the garage in Glasgow recently with Moving Pictures and Clockwork Angels. And I opened for them just with a couple of songs. And I think Clockwork Angels did New World Man. And me and John were sat backstage and we were just listening to them. And he started singing it and I went, no, but she is. And then tried to get him to carry on singing it like that. But it's really difficult to go back once you've done that. It's quite fun though. It's definitely a lot of fun. But the guitar work on it, I genuinely have no idea. I just picked out the riffs and I like to make it as easy as possible as I'm playing it so that I can sing it as well. And this one out of the lot of them was the one that took the most time. But I said, you've got to be able to do it. Like, you can take a bit more time on this one because it will be the title track and it just makes sense to do it. So if you get the hook line, which was a all of that, it was so much fun. I just had great fun with it. I can't tell you what I did. It was just me being a musician and a Rush fan combined and being creative with it.
Was it a simple choice to just say, you know, to sing New World Woman and to change he to she? Or did you think it changed maybe the meaning of the song itself when you did that?
I didn't really read too much into it, to be honest, because I think the whole idea of New World Man and New World Woman has the same concept. It's just changing the pronouns of it and it doesn't impact the meaning behind the song. So I didn't really think it would change for anyone else. And I'm not trying to make a change in the concept behind the song. I was just doing it because I'm a woman. That's as simple as it is. Again, I'm a Rush fan. I don't want to take away anything from Rush by doing this. I'm just recreating it in my own way. And it's as simple as I'm a woman. Let's just change the pronouns in it, make it a little bit interesting and shed light on all those female Rush fans out there.
And I couldn't help but thinking when I'm listening to this record, and this is a question for both of you, what do you think Neil Peart would have thought if he heard this record? I think he would have loved it.
Really?
Yeah, I do, because if you remember the story that Jacob Moon told us about Jacob's acoustic kind of cover of Subdivisions, Neil told him that Jacob had performed the song as Neil had envisioned it in his head, more of like a ballad. Right. So I'm sure that there are aspects of these songs that he had in his head that once translated, you know, into Rush were different from what he had in mind. So some of these songs might be a hue a little closer to that kind of idea.
Oh, I'd love it if he was able to hear it, of course. I mean, the closest thing was having his sisters there and them hearing his lyrics, which, as I said, it was quite emotional because I don't know what I would do if I had a compliment from Neil Peart. If things had been different and I'd have met him or if we'd crossed paths, he's literally my hero. Like, I've got the Fantoons calendar up on my wall at the moment, and September is a picture of Neil in his red Barchetta running with the Signals dog on the hills and the clouds looking down at him. And it's just a gorgeous picture, but he is like up here for me. So I can't even think about it. I'm going to cry, man.
Another great thing about the album is the album cover. Can you tell us about that? The painting, who did that? God,
yeah. My good friend, Lorna Bannister, painted that in her living room. I visit her house frequently. She lives in Guildford, and Guildford is where I first moved for university when I was 18. And I spent roughly 5-6 years there before moving to Kentish Town. And I now currently live in Kentish Town with Lorna's, one of her oldest friends when she was my age. she moved here with the woman that I live with now. So it's kind of like a whole loop of events happening. But the painting was in Lorna's living room, and I did painting sessions with her as a student. I would go to sessions where a room full of artists would just paint me. I would model for them. It'd give me some beer money for when I went out. And I just genuinely had quite a nice time. You know, I'd have a wine with them all, have a chat. And all of these lovely people would just paint me and have a good time doing it. And unfortunately, the guy who ran those sessions passed probably about a couple of years back now. And John was a real big influence on Lorna. But Lorna wanted to carry on the sessions and just asked if I would go around to hers and if she could paint me just randomly at times. And we still do it now. She's currently working on doing my originals album, Synthetic, and it's looking incredible. She's the most fantastic artist, and I don't think she knows how good she is, because this New World Woman artwork is such a good balance between light and shade. And I love art in general, so that's me. Like, whenever I look at it, I go, that's me. And it makes me feel proper good about myself, because she's done such a good job on it. And it's going to look amazing on vinyl as well. I can't wait to see it come out on vinyl, because it's just a really nice bit of artwork. And like I said, the balance between light and dark on it is exactly what I wanted to come across, because I'm all about balance in life at the moment. You do need a little bit of everything. And she just totally nailed it. And I'm so pleased to be working with her. Yeah, Lorna Bannister.
So I was going to ask you, Leone, what's next? But I guess you've answered it. It's an originals album coming out, huh?
It is, yeah. It's an album full of, I think it's 7 tracks of original stuff me and my band have done. It's taken a couple of years extra than expected, just because of a couple of issues with a producer I had a few years back, which is unfortunate. But it was a case of, right, we need to still do this. So we took it to other people, and which is when I met Nick Andrew, who did Digital Man. He saved me completely and said he would help me out and record the extra parts that this guy just didn't send us in the end. So we did everything there. And then I'm working with a guy called Elliot Kennedy at Sheffield's Steelwork Studios. And he also is helping me massively at the moment. I'm just waiting for him to get back from New York. And once he's back, then I'll go over and get the masters done with him. So it should, hopefully, we were aiming for it to be out just before the end of the year, but just because of time-wise being so close to Christmas, it will probably be at the start of the year now. We'll maybe get a couple of singles out if possible. But yeah, originals album's coming next. And Lorna, again, will be doing that artwork. Unlike this New World Woman one, which is kind of reminiscent of Power Windows, which is one of my favourite albums, Synthetic is a completely different style of artwork. It's just the same mediums. I think she's using acrylic paints on canvas. But I can't reveal anything of it. It's a big secret, but I'm very excited about it.
Well, thanks so much for creating this magnificent album, Leone, and continuing to carry the Rush torch. And thanks for joining us on the Rush Fancast today.
Thanks so much, guys, for having me.
Jer, I can't even wrap my head around how beautiful her interpretations of these Rush songs are. They're so perfectly done.
It is incredible. Just in the fact she recorded it at home, and as you could hear in the interview, there are some street noises bleeding through.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that she got the takes that she got. And just an incredible guitarist, right?
She's amazing. And her interpretations, like I said, you hear Alex in there. You hear Getty in there. You hear the drums sometimes in her acoustic guitar somehow. It's amazing. And she can't even explain it.
I know. I just so impressed by her chops and the takes on these songs. Incredible.
Just an incredible talent and a terrific job producing by our pal Steve Brown of Moving Pictures and Rush Fest Scotland fame.
Yeah.
Who we got to meet again in Port Dalhousie.
That's right. He was playing with his band.
Yeah. We saw Moving Pictures. They were great.
They were great.
And they played at Lakeside Park. I mean, how cool a venue is that for a Rush cover band to play?
Right. Yeah, it was great. It was, again, a gorgeous weekend. That was an eventful weekend, wasn't it, Steve?
It was. We saw a lot of stuff, met a lot of people, and we met someone who introduced us to next week's guest.
Can you believe it? I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. I'd say this guest that we're going to speak to next week is in my top five of wish list guests for this podcast. Would you say?
When we were doing the podcast and we started doing interviews, we sat down and we came up with a list of people we'd want to interview. And his name was easily the second or third. No, probably the fourth person, actually.
Yeah.
After Alex, Getty, and Neil.
Right. Getty, Alex, and Neil, of course, was still alive when we made this list.
Yep.
They were the top three. And then this person was probably fourth. And we're going to speak to him next week. How cool is that?
It's very cool, Steve. I'm very excited.
It's very cool. And I'll give you a hint. It's not Getty and it's not Alex.
Yeah.
Should give it away, shouldn't it?
I don't know, Steve. I'm not sure.
We'll just call it a tease. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Rush Fancast. Call it X if you will. On Instagram, we're at The Rush Cast. Email Jerry. Let him know what you thought of our second conversation with Leonie Jane Kennedy at therushcast@gmail.com. And Jerry, I hope you have a quote to wrap this up for us.
Sure. And it's from New World Woman.
Of course it is.
She's got to make her own mistakes and learn to mend the mess she makes. She's old enough to know what's right, but young enough not to choose it. She's noble enough to win the world, but weak enough to lose it. She's a new world woman.
I love it. Thanks, Jer.
All right, see you later.